Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 87 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
These monologues are intended to lift the curtain on events in local history from long ago.
The city of Moorhead will host a logging forum next week.
Local court officials have asked the State Court of Appeals to stop text messages from being read by a circuit court judge in Bath County.
Moorhead State University's AmeriCorps program has received nearly $500,000 in grant funding.
Kentucky State Police are stepping up patrols this weekend.
A Kentucky sports radio host is considering a run for U.S. Senate.
In sports, Moorhead State University volleyball is battling it out in their season opener in South Carolina.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Partly cloudy with a low around 62 tonight. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Moorhead Theater Guild will be holding auditions for the upcoming production of Dining with the Dead. Taking place in the Old Town Cemetery on Ashland Avenue, the show revisits several Round County residents from the late 19th century. Around 20 actors will tell the stories of Moorhead's past through dramatic monologues. Author and director J.D. Reeder says auditions for the show are open to the public.
There are roles in this drama for some children, a few, ages 8 and up, and then there are several roles for adults.
Auditions for Dining with the Dead will take place at the Round County Arts Center tonight and tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. and on September 5th at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit MooreheadTheater.org.
Kentucky folklore is steeped with tales of strange and unusual creatures, such as the Wolfman of Wolf County and Pike County's Hellhounds. These stories and others are the focus of a field called cryptozoology, the study of unknown creatures. Crypticon is one of the largest events in the cryptozoology field, and it comes to Lexington this weekend. Event organizer Jeff Waldridge talks about stories in and around Kentucky.
You go to some of these small communities, and they all have a name for a creature. Well, a lot of times it's Bigfoot. It's a Bigfoot-type creature, a Sasquatch-type creature. And then, of course, you said the Hellhounds, or, you know, there's other ones where there's all these legends about, well, there was a circus train that wrecked, and there were these monkeys that went into the woods in this certain part of the country, and now we've got monkeys. You know what I'm saying? So it seems like that every little pocket or every little community has some.
The cast of the hit Destination America show Mountain Monsters is part of a major guest list that will be on hand at the convention for lectures and panel discussion. For more information about the event or to register, visit Crypticon.com.
Members of the Lighthouse Apostolic Church of Versailles spent Labor Day making winter readiness backpacks for the homeless. The church group calls themselves Racktivist. According to LEX 18, Jolene Davis got the idea a few months ago after seeing posts on Facebook encouraging random acts of kindness. Davis says this is something she's very passionate about.
Wherever we see someone in need, that's where we go. We made up 85 plus blessing bags with everything you would need in it. Gloves, scarves, hats, even little blankets, little pillows.
Davis would love to have 100 backpacks in total. The plan is to pass them out in October.
Over 2,000 people attended the annual Winchester Labor Day Parade on Monday. Teachers, factory workers, construction workers, and public employees were among the attendees. Flora Shelby is the director of the Winchester Labor Committee. She tells WKYT there is a rich heritage behind the parade.
This parade started in 1904 by Mr. Shackelford. After he died, his son took over, and it just kept progressing on and on and on. This is the longest running parade in the state of Kentucky, 115 years, and we want to keep it going.
Elected officials and political candidates were there to greet workers and discuss labor and pension issues.
The Mason County Public Library will be starting a program called Baby Bounce for children ages newborn to 24 months. WMKY's Lori Likens has the story.
MCPL's program is designed to promote early childhood literacy. The program uses rhythmic patterns, songs, puppets, rhymes, storytelling, blocks, and bubbles to help children learn and memorize. According to the Ledger Independent, Baby Bounce will begin on Wednesday, September 4th at 10 a.m. Parents with older children are welcome to bring the children along and participate. For WMKY, I'm Lori Likens.
A retired couple from Eastern Kentucky is heading to Florida with aid from the Red Cross. Mike and Charlene Qualls have volunteered with the Ashland branch of the Red Cross for nearly 5 years. The two have responded to disasters in Florida and Louisiana and volunteered locally to flooding in 2016. Charlene told WYMT they just want to help people.
What the blood center really needs is regular donors. What the blood center really needs is regular donors. And young people should fill that need. It's a wonderful community service.
Knowing that you can help other people. So that's why, so to say, we didn't want to sit at home and do nothing. So we wanted to help. So we're out doing whatever we can do.
The Qualls expect to be gone for 2 weeks, but are not certain where they will end up. The couple is heading to a Red Cross staging area in Montgomery, Alabama, to wait for Dorian to make landfall.
A Kentucky man has consistently donated blood for the last 27 years. Gary King had a mowing accident in 1992 that broke his pelvis and cut off his legs. During King's emergency surgeries, he used 56 units of blood. Then, during recovery, he needed even more. King tells WKYT the Kentucky Blood Center needs more donors.
What the blood center really needs is regular donors. And young people should fill that need. It's a wonderful community service.
For more information about becoming a blood donor in your area, visit kybloodcenter.org. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud. Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says the state's labor cabinet hasn't secured the necessary bonds from coal companies that would cover wage payments to miners if their employer unexpectedly shuts down. Mountaintop Media reports Beshear announced on Thursday that his office examined records of Kentucky companies that should be required to pay the bonds. State law requires performance bonds from certain companies in business for less than 5 years. Beshear says 1,000 miners are working for coal companies that haven't paid the bond. Some Kentucky miners were left with bounced paychecks after one coal company, West Virginia-based Black Jewel, filed for bankruptcy on July 1st. Some of those miners are protesting the lack of payments by blocking a coal shipment sitting on railroad tracks in Harlan County.
And speaking of those Black Jewel miners, they've entered their sixth week of protest on train tracks in Cumberland, and some say they're ready to go home. The protesters are feeling optimistic going into Wednesday as another court hearing is scheduled in Charleston, West Virginia. Miner Daryl Raleigh tells WYMT he never guessed the protest would last as long as they have.
You know, people would like to be able to go home and, you know, go to their beds and stuff and be able to go back to life. Because it's a hard thing sitting here like this.
Raleigh says the days are hot and the nights are cold, but the miners will not leave without being paid for their labor.
A judge has agreed to unseal court documents that reveal more about how pharmaceutical company Teva operated in Kentucky during the run-up of the state's opioid crisis. WUKY's Josh James has details.
The state's top law enforcement official says a Fayette circuit judge is unveiling data showing how Teva accounted for the majority of opioids and grams sold in Kentucky between 2006 and 2014. Attorney General Andy Beshear says the new documents detail how the manufacturer promoted Actique and Ventura, drugs originally approved by the FDA only for cancer patients, for off-label purposes. This is the AG announcing his suit against Teva in 2018.
Teva pushed its sales force to promote its products for migraine injuries and wound dressing changes that were not approved uses of such powerful drugs.
According to Beshear, the previously redacted information shows that Teva internally tracked its sales representatives to make sure that prescribers heard their messages. The FDA confronted Teva about illegal off-label promotion in 2004 and that the manufacturer targeted non-oncologists to boost its sales. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The mother of a man killed by gun violence in Lexington is advocating for red flag laws and background checks. Anita Franklin is an anti-violence activist. She delivered a letter to U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell's office in Louisville last week, urging action. After speaking with a staff member in McConnell's office, Franklin tells WKYT she hopes this is the start of getting something done.
Not one more. We're delivering this letter on the broken bones, you know, the broken lives and the broken communities because of this gun violence.
Franklin says it's time for members of both parties to come together and do something. More than 1,200 people across the country who have lost loved ones to gun violence signed the letter.
An Elliott County man was arrested at an Ashland park after police say he solicited a person he believed to be a minor for sex. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
Police reports state 30-year-old Matthew Gillum of Sandy Hook was arrested at a park near Chatham Drive. Authorities tell the Daily Independent the person Gillum solicited was actually a peace officer. Police say Gillum's arrest stems from an investigation involving communications that date back several months. Gillum was charged with prohibited use of an electronic communication system to procure a minor for a sex offense. Gillum is lodged at the Boyd County Detention Center on a $50,000 cash bond. He is scheduled to be arraigned on Thursday. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
A Kentucky superintendent has apologized after some high school students were told to change out of gay pride t-shirts they wore to class. Martin County Superintendent Larry James tells the Lexington Herald Leader that students should have been allowed to wear their shirts. He blamed a miscommunication and said the situation has been resolved and won't happen again. James said students can wear anything they want as long as it's not, quote, vulgar or obscene. WIMT-TV reported that students were wearing shirts with the messages Lady Lesbian and Queer Queen when they were asked to change due to a dress code violation. James said it wasn't the intent of school administrators to discriminate against anyone.
Lafayette High School has implemented stricter rules at sporting events, and the district may follow suit after an unaccompanied younger student falsely shouted that someone had a gun at a football game. News outlets report Fayette County Public High School officials met last Thursday to discuss applying firmer rules to future football games, including no backpacks and an age limit. The results of the meeting weren't immediately released. District spokeswoman Lisa Diffendahl says Lafayette already has a no-backpack rule and doesn't allow non-high school students to attend games without an adult. A football game between Frederick Douglass and Bryan Station High Schools was interrupted last month when fans believed someone in the crowd had a gun. Officials said they didn't find evidence of a firearm.
A Kentucky school employee has resigned following an investigation into allegations that the person shook a young child in August. Gray affiliate Fox 19 reports parents received a letter about the reported incident that happened at the Chapman Child Care Center in Covington. The school district said the employee was accused of shaking the child August 26th, and once administrators found out what happened, the person was reported to the Cabinet for Health and Family Services. Covington police tell Fox 19 the child is a girl and there is an active investigation. The child was taken to a hospital, but police are not revealing the extent of her injuries.
A Pulaski County teenager is in the hospital after an accidental shooting. Authorities tell WKYT a 15-year-old girl was shot in the neck. Deputies responded to the shooting on North Lake Drive. It happened around 3 a.m. Sunday. Police said the teen and her 18-year-old boyfriend were messing around with a handgun when the gun was accidentally fired. The girl was airlifted to UK Hospital. Her boyfriend was not hurt. Police are still investigating. No mention of any charges of any kind have been made. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, mostly clear with a low around 62. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 83. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 61. Thursday, sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 56. Friday, sunny with a high near 80. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 61. And now taking a look at the current temperatures for the WMKY listening area. It's 85 degrees in Flemingsburg, 86 degrees in Maysville, Ashland, and Grayson, 89 degrees in Inez, 86 degrees in Mount Sterling, 88 degrees in Lexington, and 87 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator Grant Alden makes some suggestions for immigration reform.
What if we greeted the refugees at our border with a smile and a glass of cold water and a hot meal? What if we said to the strangers who have come to do our nastiest jobs, welcome. We know it's been a long, hard trip. Here's an ID card that will let you work and pay taxes. And if you conduct yourself responsibly, here's a path to citizenship in, say, 10 years. Or you can go home when it's safe there. Yeah, I know. That's simplistic and naive and all those other words. And it'll never happen. But isn't it nice, just for a moment, to imagine ourselves capable of doing the right thing, the kind thing, the humane thing? Almost none of us living within these borders have DNA which gives us the moral high ground. We're all immigrants, save for the surviving native peoples, and we're all from somewhere else. The immigration papers for many of my great-great-grandparents and their kin say the same thing. Illiterate weaver. And they're all stamped County Cork, Ireland, because that's where the ships to the New World launched. I am trying to imagine now, in the comfort of my life, exactly how hungry and scared and desperate they must have been to book passage in the bowels of a steamship, to be tossed among the Atlantic waves, to land on the shores of an entire country that wanted nothing to do with their kind. At least, they had the benefit of being white, so there's that. One of the most important lessons my ancestors taught me was to always do the right thing. Even if it was inconvenient or costly, always do the right thing. Teachers taught that this country in which I live always did the right thing eventually, and often at great sacrifice. I know that's not entirely true. But I also know that if we believe ourselves held to a standard of greatness and compassion, we will seek to come closer to that standard. I know that we are a better people when we act on the myths of our democracy and focus less on its present realities. So, yes, give me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refugees of your teeming shore. Because that's the promise cut into the plaque mounted on the Statue of Liberty. That is the promise of America. That's the debt we all owe. So what if? What if we greeted the huddled masses on our border with a smile instead of a wall, with a handshake instead of handcuffs, with understanding instead of fear? Isn't that who we really wish to be? Isn't that who we really are?
Grant Alden is the proprietor of Coffee Tree Books and the host of Grant Alden's Field Notes here on Morehead State Public Radio. It's 448 and 87 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Cody Robinson has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Viking volleyball and both soccer teams are in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson. The Rowan County volleyball team will be back on the court tonight when Bath County comes to town. The Vikings are 9-2 on the year and locked in a battle with Russell and Boyd County atop the 16th region standings. Bath County comes into the game at 1-5 on the year. Vrouwen head coach Steve Walter says his team is focusing on improving in key areas rather than Bath County's record.
We just have to focus on what particular elements of the game that we need to work on at that time. Like, for instance, this past weekend, we had some struggles in some rotations with serve receive, had some struggles with our serving. So we'll try to focus and improve in those areas.
First serve and Moorhead is set for 6 p.m. tonight. Taking a look at other regional volleyball games for tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Russell. Lewis County travels to Boyd. And West Carter hosts Morgan County. All three of those matches are set to begin at 7 p.m. The Rowan County boys soccer team will also host Bath County tonight. The Vikings are 5-0-2 on the season, while the Wildcats stand at 3-1-1. Rowan head coach Max Hammond says he is expecting tonight's matchup to be a challenge.
They've got a pretty good team returning this year. I think they lost one or two seniors last year, so should be a pretty good match, I think. They'll be a lot stronger than they were last year. You know, they've got a great coach over there, and they've got some really talented kids, so I expect a good, hard-fought game.
Game time tonight at the Marvin Moore Athletic Complex is set for 7:30 p.m. Another 16th Region boys soccer games tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts St. Joseph East out of Huntington. Boyd hosts Bourbon County, and Russell heads to Greenup. The Rowan County girls soccer team travels to Olive Hill tonight. The Vikings stand at 4-1-1 on the season, while the West Carter Lady Comets are 2-2-1 so far. Head coach Alan Evans says they were able to see West already this year at Moorhead State University's soccer camp.
We faced up with them the last day and able to get the victory, so hopefully everything will go well. Their field's very short and narrow, so that's a bit of adversity for our players to work through, but other than that, hopefully we'll get the shutout and no injuries and be able to move on to Thursday's game.
Game time tonight in Olive Hill is set for 6 p.m. After a strong showing at home against Union College, the Moorhead State football Eagles head on the road this weekend to take on Illinois State. Coming off its 44-7 win last Thursday, head coach Rob Tenure says eliminating penalties will be a point of emphasis for his team in practice this week.
We had some penalties that we have to eliminate. You know, we had some snap issues, offside penalties on first downs backed us up. And then we had a couple series there early in the fourth quarter that we just kind of dug ourselves a hole. We got a holding call. We got a penalty. You know, and we just didn't ever recover in those series. And we can't have that late in the game. We really left probably two more scores out there in the game.
The Eagles will face a Redbirds team looking for its first win of the season after falling to Northern Illinois 24-10 last Saturday. Kickoff between Moorhead State and Illinois State is set for 7:30 p.m. Saturday night. The game can be seen live on ESPN Plus and heard live on 96.3 WIVY-FM. A former Moorhead State men's basketball forward has taken the next step in his professional endeavors. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
Lamontre Harris has signed a contract with BC Zaporizhia in Ukraine. The Hoops club, based in the city with the same name, fields its competition in the country's first-tier league, the Ukrainian Basketball Super League. By adding Harris, BC Zaporizhia looks to get back to their title-winning ways, having previously won two championships, most recently in 2013. A native of Louisville, Kentucky, Harris ventures to Eastern Europe after graduating from Moorhead State University in May 2019 with his bachelor's degree in strategic communications. Harris finished his time at MSU with 1,084 points, ranking 27th on the all-time school scoring list. The Derby City product also ranks 16th in career rebounding with 618 rebounds and 14th in block shots with 52. Harris is now one of 24 former Eagle men's basketball players to have played professionally since 2011. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The University of Kentucky's Catwalk Before Football Games will have a special guest each week this fall. The athletics department says offensive tackle and engineering student Luke Fortner and a team of engineers from Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky worked for months to design and make a pushcart vehicle. The vehicle will give a Kentucky Children's Hospital patient the chance to accompany the Wildcats on the catwalk and attend a game at Kroger Field. The department says the hospital will choose a new patient to participate each week. The catwalk will take place 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Kentucky conservation officers are reminding hunters, especially those born after January 1, 1975, to make sure they have their hunter's education and hunting license card in their pack. Anyone born after that date who wishes to hunt is required to complete a hunter safety course. Conservation Officer Homer Pigman tells Mountaintop Media there are options for hunters who haven't had the course yet.
If you do not have this course and you decide the open day of season, you want to get out and hunt, you can actually do the $5 exemption. It's a one-time thing where you can actually go online, you answer a couple questions. It gives you that opportunity to participate and, to, like I said, to hunt the first year and to see if it's something that you like. And of course, the following year, you'll need to follow up with a hunter ed course.
Archery season for deer opens September 7th in Kentucky. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer welcomes Miami of Ohio at 6 p.m. on Friday, and volleyball hosts the Eagle Challenge this weekend, featuring matches with Presbyterian, Providence, and Georgia State. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell, of course, this being the first trading day of what is a historically tough month, and this came after the world's two largest economies began imposing new tariffs on each other's goods. Weak manufacturing data also dented investor sentiment, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 285.26 at 26,118.02. The S&P 500 was down 20.19 at 2906.27, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 88.72 at 7874.16. Equities hit their session low today after the Institute for Supply Management, or the ISM, said U.S. manufacturing activity contracted last month for the first time since early 2016. And at one point, the Dow Industrials were down as much as 425 points, so the blue chip average obviously finished well off of its earlier lows. Over the weekend, the U.S. imposed 15% tariffs on a variety of Chinese goods, while China imposed new charges on U.S. products as of September 1st. And, of course, this marks the latest escalation in the long-running trade war. Retail stocks fell broadly, with a Spider S&P Retail ETF closing down 1.5%, led by declines in Signet Jewelers and Guess. Signet was down almost 10%, while Guess lost about 8%. And chip makers were under pressure. NVIDIA was down 2%, and Skyworks Solutions fell 1.5%. And in terms of trade-sensitive stocks, Boeing and Caterpillar certainly were not spared, with Boeing down 1.6%, and Caterpillar down about the same. Apple lost 1.5%, and Boeing was under pressure after reports said the 737 MAX jet could remain grounded through the holiday season. Investors loaded up on traditionally safer assets such as gold and long-dated treasuries. Gold futures for December delivery rose more than 1%, and the 30-year treasury bond yield fell to 1.95%, this after hitting an all-time low last week. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2% at $53.94 a barrel, and as mentioned, gold very strong, up 1.58%, finishing at $1,554.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.25%. Markets were mixed in Asia, with the Hang Seng down 0.4%, and the Shanghai Composite up 0.2%. Turning out stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 46 cents at 38.44, Kroger up 33 cents at 24.01, PPL Energy up 13 cents at 29.68, CSX down 67 cents at 66.35, and Marathon Petroleum was up 44 cents, finishing at 49.65. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Shawmarie Mosley, Wyatt Melton, Lori Likens, Nacogdoches Miller, Sarah Mead, Jonathan Burton, Zoe Hall, Chaz Jenkins, and Michael Green. WKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Grant Alden. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.